I don't know about you, but I'm excited. This whole week has been exciting to me. There's something different. I've been done lots of fasts in the past before. There's something different about this one. There's just a special anointing. Like, I'll just be going through my day and listening to people and preaching or watching them on television, and I find myself just moved to tears. Like, you can feel the anointing of God. God is doing something. Amen? And we may not be able to see it, but you know what? Who cares what we can't see? My eyes of faith, they can see it. They can believe for it. And that's where the first step starts, is you've got to start seeing those things that you've been believing for. You need to start seeing them happen before they even happen. Well, Abram called himself Abraham, father of many nations. Hello? Was he a father of many nations at that point? No, but he started seeing himself differently. His wife, Sarah, have you ever stopped to think about this? The Lord tells Sarah that she's going to have a baby the next year. She laughs, but the very next part of the story in Sarah is when they go to Abimelech, and Abimelech finds her so attractive. Anybody ever stopped to think about that? She was so attractive, he wanted her for his wife. A 90-year-old lady? God did something in her to turn her body around to prepare her to have a child. But they had to start seeing themselves differently. We need to start seeing those situations. You may say, well, I've had this thing my whole life. Stop seeing yourself that way the whole rest of your life. Start seeing yourself different. If you have a circumstance or a situation in your family, start seeing those family members getting along. Start seeing those family members in church. Visualize it. See it. Why is that important? Because if you can see it with your eyes of faith, your heart goes, amen. I can believe for that. Amen. We were watching, I can't remember what night it was. I think it was Friday night's Flashpoint. It was a powerful service on Friday night. I mean, powerful. Like, the glory of God just came down. Even in our house, it was like, it was so powerful. And I remember he was talking about the glory of God. And he kept saying, Lord, show us the glory of God. Show us the glory of God. And I closed my eyes. And the Lord said, do you want to see your glory? And I said, I want to see the glory. And he showed me this place. And literally there were wall-to-wall chairs. And there were people out there standing on the back of the window. The doors were open and we had a speaker, because there were so many people that wanted to hear the gospel. And I said, I can see it, I can believe for it. Amen? And that's what turns you around. When I was praying for Gary, I wasn't praying for Gary in a hospital bed. I was seeing Gary with his wife and his kids going to church, serving the Lord. I believe with all my heart, God did not just save him just to save him. I believe God's going to do something in Gary's life, and he's going to turn other lives around for the glory of God. Because we don't just ask for what we can see. He does exceedingly and abundantly above. But if you don't see that, if all you see is Gary in a hospital bed, that's where Gary stays. Because that's where your faith is going to go to. So if there's something in your life that has been hanging on to you for years and years, something you're like, God, I just want it to go away. Start by seeing yourself different. Start by seeing yourself healed. Start by seeing yourself whole. Start by seeing yourself as the woman of God or the man of God that God has called you to be, that God says you are. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what's happened in your life. That is in the past. Leave the past behind you and press forward. Pressing forward is not a mamby-pamby, it is a football term. You press in, you press as a team, you build a wall, right? So today the 49ers are going to be building a wall against the Chiefs. They're going to be building a wall and they're going to be pressing in, they're going to be holding on to each other, and they're going to be pressing in as one against them to keep them out. That's what we have to do. We've got to grab hold of each other and press in for our miracles. Woo! Somebody say amen. God is doing something during this fast. And you may say, well, I'm only fasting one or two things. You know what? It doesn't matter. If you prayed about it, whatever it is, you do that. You don't compare. It's not a comparison. Well, they're fast in this and that. No. Whatever God has called you to do, do it with all your heart as unto the Lord. Because whatever it is that he's asking you to do is going to be your breakthrough. Because this isn't about changing God. It's about changing us. Right? Some of the greatest revivals, some of the greatest turnarounds in history we've been learning with David Barton came when God's people said, Lord, change us. Do something to me. Because guess what? We're part of this nation. If we want this nation to change, we have to change. It starts here with the church, with us. So I'm just so excited about what God is going to do, not just in our lives, but in your lives. So grab hold of this morning. Don't let the devil come and try to take it away. Again, like a football. If you're on the offense, don't let that defense take that ball away from you. Man, have you ever seen some of these guys come after that ball? They're fisting it now. Like they try to hammer it, right? They're trying to pop it out. The devil's trying to pop out your promise. He's trying to take that away from you. But you know what? You hold on to that promise at least as much as that offensive player is holding on to that football. At least. That should be at least what you do, but greater. We should be holding on to that promise and saying, I am not letting go. I am not letting go. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Well, kind of goes into what we're going to be talking today about tithes and offerings. And it has to do with a diligent giver. And diligent, when the Lord first gave me this word, to be honest, I just thought in my mind like an accountant. I don't know why. This little man behind a desk with glasses, diligently doing what he's doing, right? That's the look I got when I was praying about this at first. And the Lord said, well, let's look at that, Shelley. Diligent means constant in effort to accomplish something. Careful and detailed. Huh. What? Maybe God is calling us up to another level in tithing. Maybe he's saying, I don't want you just to just throw around numbers. I want you to be like an accountant. I want you to be in constant effort to accomplish what I've called you to do in your life. I want you to be careful and detailed about every decision that I call for you to make. For every time he moves on your heart, I've been listening so much this past few weeks for him to tell me with offering. I believe there's a doing in offering. When you give an offering, it's an action, right? You're following up your faith with an action. And that's what diligent means in biblical terms. Diligence is doing one's part while keeping faith and reliance in God. Let me say that again. Diligence is doing one's part while keeping faith and reliance in God. You see, we have a part. We have a part in tithing. We have to actually give it. We have to actually bring it to him. But we also have another part in tithes and offerings, and that is listening. Listening. You need to be listening and understanding what God has called you to do. Now I do an okay job at accounting, you know, as long as it doesn't change. If something changes, then I'm like, help, right? So, but an accountant that is certified and has been doing it for years, they know details that, like when you go to your accountant or your CPA for your taxes, they're asking you all these crazy questions. You're like, where did you, okay, no, yes, no, right? They have all this knowledge of ways to make things work that you kind of get back more than you thought you were going to get back, or you don't have to pay as much as you thought you had to pay because they know their job, right? Well, this morning, the Lord is saying, we can be that. We can be diligent givers. He can give us the mind of Christ to be able to know where to plant, when to harvest, when to hold off on the harvest, where to give, and right down to where to invest your money. Where do I give? Do I give here? Do I give here? Do I sow into here? Do I do this IRA? Do I do this, whatever the other things are called. That tells you how much I know, right? But God can give us that knowledge, even me, right? He can give us that knowledge as we move forward. Proverbs 21:5 says this. Now listen to this. The plans of the diligent, who? The diligent those that are doing their part while keeping faith and reliance on God. This isn't about somebody that's out there keeping their faith, doing it all by themselves. No, this is there's components in this. They are keeping their faith in reliance. When you rely on somebody, you know what that means? That means they're everything to you, right? They take care of you. They direct you. In some cases, they feed you, right? We need to be in total reliance with the Lord in this process. The plans of the diligent, this one that we've been talking about, leads surely. What does surely mean? Absolutely, it's coming. Leads surely to, are you ready for this? Abundance. So when you are a diligent giver, what is the end result? Abundance. Abundance. Because you're relying in the Lord, and He is giving you the mind of that detailed little accountant in His office. He is placing that in your mind. So the things that you would have thought in the past, oh, I don't know how to do that. The Lord's going to say, yes, you can. Ask me. Ask me to show you how to do that. I remember when we first started our church, well, I guess it was a couple years into it because we had somebody else doing it for a while, and the accountant that was working for us said, you really could do this, Shelley. It's silly that you're paying me for this because you could do this. And I was like, ha, 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 what? What? I mean, like, I've literally got emotional. I was like, I am, see this right here? I can do math. I'm great at math. But this business thing right here, no. She's like, how about this? How about I work alongside you for the next year? I'll come and check your work. But I really think you can do this. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. She left, and I was in tears. I'm like, Lord, why in the world would you ask me? Why would you ask me to do this? I didn't go to Bible college to study business. I went to Bible college to study the Bible. I know the Bible. This business thing, this is foreign to me. You know what he told me? You can do this. I'll help you do this. I'll help you do that. I'll come alongside you to do this. I'm doing things now. If you'd have told me I'd have been doing it 15 years ago, I would have laughed at you and told you that is the most absurd thing I've ever heard. You know, I'm just over here helping my own family with my own finances. But I look at where God has brought me to. You know why? Diligent giver. Diligent giver. When you give, it's not me. It's Christ in me that is helping me to accomplish these things. That's what God wants to do in these last days. There are going to be things that are going to come up in your life as the wealth comes in that you're going to have to say, God, what in the world do I do? But then you go to Him and you go, wait a minute, Lord, I'm a diligent giver. What does it mean? It means I am careful and detailed in every way. So I know that you're going to help me to have the mind of Christ to be able to do with these finances what you've called me to do. You're going to show me where to invest. You're going to show me where to give. You're going to show me how to disperse. And I will do everything according to your plan because my reliance is on you. Diligent giver. Aren't you so glad for the word? Aren't you so glad for His faithfulness? We don't want to just be wishy-washy. We don't want to just be throwing money here and there. We want to know all the details to get everything out of this money that the Lord is bringing to us. We don't want one dime going to some place it's not supposed to go. Amen? Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Lord, we just praise You and we thank You for this powerful service that we've already been in. And Your presence is still here. Lord, we just praise You that we come to worship You with our tithes and our offerings. As we're learning the ABCs of tithing, God, this is an exciting, exciting thing, Father, because it's not just for us, but it's for those that will follow behind us, that will come in and say, why do we tithe? What does that mean? And we're going to be able to say, oh, I can give you the whole alphabet of why we're tithing. And Father, I just pray that we would grasp hold of this in a way that we're not just going to be hearers, but we're going to be doers, that we'll be able to learn and be able to teach others the reasons behind why we tithe, and that they are going to flourish as we flourish, Father. We just praise You, Lord, in our diligence, God, that we are going to be good stewards of the money that You have placed in our hands. And when You say go, we will go. When You say hold back, we'll hold back. When You say disperse, we'll disperse. When You say invest, we'll invest. Whatever it is You tell us to do, Father, as a body, we dedicate to be diligent accountants with your money today. And Father, we just praise you that you don't just call us to do something without blessing your kids. And so I thank you, Father, that we know as we are diligent to dot the I's and cross the T's and make sure that everything is accounted for, there will be an abundance that comes to us because of this. We praise you and we thank you today. Bless every seed that's sown and bless the sower. We thank you for an anointed, blessed rest of this week. Father, as we push past the things that we've been tithing and there might be just that sluggishness, no, God, I thank you. This service is pushing us forward, Father. It's throwing us forward into this week, God, that we're going to be able to do things we never thought we could do, Lord. We just praise you for your faithfulness in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray over this word today. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We were having dinner the other day, and I asked Shelly, you know, you married to somebody for 24 years, and you know him pretty well. And it just occurred to me, I was like, Shelly, did it ever occur to you that you're a woman, you can't be a pastor? You can't do that? Did that ever dawn on you? She's like, no, never even dawned on me. She's like, I went to Bible college, and she got into the pastoral, like, they were like, oh, you know, consider worship leading, children's ministry. No, I'm called the pastor. So she went into all the pastoral training. She was the only woman in the class with all these guys, and they kind of poked fun at her. And she was like, well, you watch, I'm going to get better grades than you are. And she did. She outdid all of them. And she said, well, I was kind of arrogant. And Dad said, no, you are confident. Somebody said, there's a difference between arrogance and confidence. Amen? And I think we benefit from that every single week, right? We're sensitive to Jesus has just as much calling on a woman as a man, you know? Doesn't matter the nationality, woman, man, the Holy Ghost. How many know God is Spirit? Amen. And the Holy Ghost can move on a woman or a man, or, you know, there's biblical order and things. But wow, hallelujah. She does things that I don't do. Amen. And God is so good. He is so good. Well, we're going to continue on this journey that we're on in this 21-day period of fasting that began last Monday, February 5th. It's going to go through Sunday, the 25th. And I want to read to you this, you know, I put out there kind of our order of, you know, the flow of the service today, and sometimes I just feel like making an adjustment to that. And I want to start by reading to you this call to fasting and prayer. This came from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Eagle Mountain International Church, Pastor George and Terry Pearson's, Kenneth Copeland, right? And it's an invitation to participate in a corporate time of prayer and fasting, which we've started on Monday last week. And let me just say, I noticed a difference. Now, I mean, we're seeing things in the Spirit. We're going to talk about some of the things I've already noted this week. But, you know, the teaching in regards to fasting, you know, kind of quiets down our flesh. My flesh was shouting. I think my flesh got a little louder with me. I want that! No! Especially in the area of the coffee after in the afternoon, I don't know what it is. And you know, again, we're sensitive to however God is. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But a Daniel fast is, what do you crave? Ask the Lord to show you, and just set that aside. And Shelly told me the other day she had a. We've both had dreams now. I mean, you know you're attached to something when you're dreaming about it. And she said, I had a dream that I put a piece of candy in my mouth and I spit it out. And I've had two dreams this past week about cookies. One, I just attacked. I said, I don't care. It's a chocolate chip cookie. I attacked it and it was like gluten-free. And I was like, ugh. And then just the other night, I dreamed I was cleaning out my van and I found Oreos in the van and they were open. And I was like, in my dream, I'm like, no, So I don't know why cookies have been the thing for me, but you know, you get that thing where you want a cup of coffee and a cookie or something in the afternoon and your flesh kind of wow-as about it. But there's reasons why we're doing this. Amen? And there's glorious things God is doing. And if everyone is doing their part corporately as the Lord leads, powerful things are happening in the Spirit. Just from saying no to something that you want. Right? And the call to fasting and prayer. It says, the Lord has called Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Eagle Mountain International Church, Victory Channel, Kenneth Copeland Bible College. And he always adds, and whoever else wants to join, right? To a 21-day Daniel fast. It begins Monday, November 5th, which was last Monday, and concludes Sunday, February 25th, 2024. Our foundation scripture is Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. And I'll tell you what, I was mourning. It's like, what is that mourning? Well, you know, your spirit is moved with things you're praying about, but also, you know, there's a little bit of it's like we gotta push our flesh to the point of being uncomfortable. If I don't even know I'm fasting, I'm probably not doing enough, right? And the Lord has helped me, because you know, this really helped me. The list that the sheet that they sent out, where you actually list what you're going, ask God, what am I going to fast, and write it down, and sign it, make a covenant before the Lord, and that's helped me a lot this past week. Because there's some things that are not on the list, right? Like Shelly made zucchini bread. Zucchini bread's not on my list. Joy! Joy! It's still not a cookie or a donut, but hey, it's actually better than that, right? So food shouldn't condemn you. Even if you have whatever, don't get condemned over it, but just stay with it. What has God called you to do? And somebody say, stay with it. Sugar cereals are on my list, and donuts, and I put English muffins, bagels, and cereal or sandwich bread. Those are the kind of breads that I usually are kind of my go-to for, you know, weekends and things. And I'm like, I'm writing those down. I'm not touching that, right? And then Shelly made zucchini bread, and you're like, oh, I shouldn't want that, but hey, it's not on the list. This is a Daniel fast, okay? This is not a cold turkey everything fast. And you know, honestly, I would like to get to a place where I can do those cold turkey 3-day fasts again, but because of how I eat, it's really difficult to do that. If I'm eating like I should eat, then it's not the same level of difficulty for me to put aside everything for a few days. But if I'm always got to have my carbs, then your body literally, it's like it's on drugs, man. I mean, Lacey works for a chocolate store, and she has stories. We've all had a few withdrawals, right? But she's had stories of people that come in there all sweet and nice, but then when you don't have the chocolate I want, I mean, seriously, they've got issues, man. It's like a drug deal, right? But it's legal. It's chocolate. But I mean, people, sugar is like a drug. And when I'm dreaming about cookies, I mean, what? I don't want cookies to have that kind of hole. It makes me a little concerned, right? I should be. Somebody say, be free. Be free, right? Okay. Our foundation text is Daniel 10, verses 2 and 3. Oh, Pastor Steve, that's Old Testament. I've been redeemed from the Old Testament. Somebody say it's all the Bible. It's all the Bible. Now, the Lord shows us, the Holy Ghost shows us what things. I mean, we're not sacrificing lambs and stoning children if they disobey. None of that stuff applies anymore, right? But there's principles that we can learn from the Word of God that were spoken in Daniel and Genesis. And how many know thou shalt not steal still applies? We don't just blow it off because, well, that's old. No. Daniel, credible prophet. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So that's the, you know, where the 21-day period comes from. And Pastor George said this morning, He said, I wrote a lot of things down. He said, why 21 days? Because there are some stubborn strongholds that need to be broken. I mean, I'm talking day one. Day one for me. Coffee. There's still 20 more days of this. Whoa! Stubborn. Stubbornness, right? But there's also things on our list here that we're believing God to break through on, right? An awakening to God in the body of Christ. There's some stubborn, hard-hearted people in the body of Christ, right? An awakening to God in Israel. Israel needs, obviously, the divine protection of God, but also to know who their Redeemer is, to accept their Messiah. Divine protection right now with what they're dealing with, right? An awakening to God in America. How many know America needs to wake the heaven up? Right? Man, Flashpoint was so powerful this week. Go back and watch that. If you haven't seen Flashpoint, there's some great stuff on Victory Network. An awakening to God in America. There's some stubborn, hard-hearted people in office, in the pulpit, in churches, at the office, whatever. In my house, not you guys. I'm talking about me, right? Somebody say, Lord, soften me up. In the mirror. An awakening to God in America and the nations of the world. The nations of the world. The 2024 elections, breakthrough for ministries, personal breakthroughs. I mean, I hope you wrote down on your list some things that have been pestering you for years. Because that's what should be on the list, right? Breakthrough. Preparation for all that is coming. What does that mean? I don't know exactly. Pastor George has said the Lord asked him to write that down right before the fast. Because you know what? There's a devil out there that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And we need to be at the right place, the right time, doing the right thing with the right people. And if we're praying and fasting, then the Spirit of God can get out ahead of stuff that the devil has planned and just put the kibosh on it. Hallelujah. So we're saying these things. We're believing these things. We're standing on these things. And when a cookie or a cup of coffee or a piece of bread is crying out to me, well, then that's my reminder to cry out this, to say this. Sports radio in the afternoons for me. Right now, I haven't been dreaming about that. But I had two dreams about cookies. It's like, what in the world? Hallelujah. But he also said, adding this little bit to what we are doing is going to change everything. Adding this little bit to what we're already doing is going to change everything. I'll say it again. Adding this little bit to what we're already doing is going to change everything. So it may not seem like much to say no. Well, what difference could that make? Well, if a whole thousands of people are doing this, standing together, believing God, I mean, it's going to rock the devil's world. Amen. And set people free. He said it's like a reset in the spirit. It's turning down the flesh, turning up the senses to the Lord. Amen. And we're entering into greater places of rest, he talked about today. And there's several things that I've noticed just in this past week. And coincidence that we're fasting and praying, I don't know, right? I don't believe it is a coincidence, is what I'm trying to say, right? I had on the job this past week, me and Lane both are, out in the pest control world. Lane's going to college and doing pest control as well as a part-time job. And he drove up to a house this week. I'll share the story about the lady this week. And sometimes we're, the mailman's trying to get in, or the garbage truck's trying, or the delivery truck, and there's limited places to park. Can you not park there? Well, this lady tells Lane, can you move? There's an ambulance coming. So Lane's like, well, okay, I'll just come back in an hour and check in with you. And so he came back, and the lady kind of showed him around. Turns out her husband had passed out, and she's pretty emotional about it. And Lane said, you know what? we're praying about that. I've already got people praying about that. I've been praying, and she just started weeping, man. There was a sensitivity, a need there. Lane was in the right place at the right time. All these things are powerful, pointing people up. This past week, I drive by cemeteries sometimes, and I just kind of say out loud, hey, all the remains of all you believers out there, the rapture's coming. You're going to be busting out of there, right? And I saw this big cross on somebody's grave, and it reminded me of a rocket ship, man. Like, it's going to go. This is true. I drove up to a job this past week at an apartment complex, and I won't get into too much detail because he might come to church, right? But his name's Danny, and he comes out. He's a maintenance guy at this apartment complex, and I had texted him to find out what I was there to do that day with business. Couldn't get a hold of him, and wandering back out to my truck, and here he comes walking across the parking lot. And he says, you know, I'm sorry, Steve, I didn't respond to your text because there's this other Steve that my sister keeps sending me, and he's a Jehovah's Witness. And he goes, and he just won't leave me alone. He's like, so he's like, I don't know if you're religious or not. Door open. Somebody say, door open. So I told him, well, not really. I said, we're a born-again Christian, believe in the Bible and Jesus. I said, actually, I don't tell everybody this. I said, I'm actually a pastor. What? And he just had this openness in him, and he's like, what do I believe? What do I believe? This is why we're fasting and praying. I mean, ripe fruit falling off the tree. I mean, you got to catch it. It's coming, right? And I just told him about Jesus, told him the gospel story. That it's all about the blood. It's all about you just coming to Jesus and praying a simple prayer and giving your life to him. And the Lord really had me emphasize the fatherhood of God with him, just in a few minutes. It's like, you know, God is not the man upstairs, somebody up there when you get saved. He is your father. And you talk to him like, father. And he's like, okay, so let me get this straight. So I talked to my father, and all I got to do is say that prayer. And I was like, yeah, in fact, we can do it right now. You and me right now. Really? Yeah. So let's do it. So we prayed the sinner's prayer right there in the parking lot. Hallelujah. And he gave his life to Jesus right there in the parking lot. And man, I said, man, now you know what, Danny? Now you're my brother in Christ. And he just glowed and went about his business, right? But these are amazing things that are happening on a fast, a time of prayer and fasting. What happened with Gary? That's powerful, man. We're praying and fasting. Gary had a heart attack and was on life support for the weekend. And would you know, he is risen. He's coming back to his senses, and all these great signs this morning of not needing life support anymore, and he's responsive and laughing, and wow. I heard of somebody in the room that got a new car, debt-free. Those things are powerful. And I mean, we can't take those things lightly. I mean, those are the kind of, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the blessings of God, and we've experienced these before, that are actually so big, they're embarrassing. People asking you, how did you do that? Well, he just loves me. He loves me. Be like Jerry Seville. I'm just his favorite. I'm his favorite child. And you can be too. Amen. These are remarkable things. I heard of a business person this week that was having terrible, terrible problems. And he's been leaning in and participating and hearing these things with us. He doesn't come here, but with us. And he got wisdom from God this week, and the whole thing is beginning to shift. And he sees the pathway out. Now, that's remarkable. That's something only God can do. Hallelujah, right? There was a state in our country this week that went to the United States Supreme Court to try to, in front of God and everybody, do election interference. And one of the most liberal judges on the Supreme Court rejected the idea. This week that happened. Now, they haven't made an official announcement or anything, but the line of questioning was, are you crazy? Like, basically, you should watch Flashpoint this week and hear what Lance Wall, now his summary of that. The Flashpoint guys are kind of like the guys that bring NFL analysis, and they're all this little panel, and they all... It is so great. But somebody say breakthrough. That's a supernatural thing. And we need to rejoice over all of these things, right? Just checking my notes, it seems like there was something else. Yeah. And I mean, this is only the first week. The Lord gave us a word this week for a place of our own. Sometimes the breakthrough comes as a manifestation. Sometimes it comes through as direction, confirmation, a word from God. Keith Moore said repeatedly, a place of your own. Somebody say a place of our own. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for what we're at here. But this ain't the end of all. Right? Hallelujah. But we're not going to get through all of these notes today. This may be a couple week thing here, but I want to specifically look at, did I even finish reading Pastor George's notes yet? Hang on a second. No, I did not. Look how the Holy Ghost, he just takes off and goes and goes and goes. He said, pleasant bread represents those things we set aside that the flesh craves in order to feed our spirit. So it's not just what I don't do, what am I going to do? Right? So the prayer, intercession, study of God's word, like Shelley was saying, we took a couple evenings this past, the Lord didn't tell me to fast all television, but we are giving more time to the word. And there was a couple of nights last week that we just got lost in the spirit in what was happening on Victory Network, whether it was Flashpoint or Keith Moore or whatever, right? So it's giving extra time to Jesus. You can do it during the day too, right? Just have a little more Bible study, praise and worship, all these things. Why 21 days? We all need this extended time of spiritual focus in order to receive answers, direction, clarity, breakthroughs, and deliverances from stubborn strongholds. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, fasting and prayer is a weapon. And the cool thing is, if this is kind of your first time doing this type of thing, it's like communion, it's like prayer, it's like studying the word. You don't have to do it just in church. You can fast and pray at will, at the leadership of the Holy Ghost, but you can activate that anytime that you want, as the Lord would lead you, right? It is important for you to understand that it is not the fasting itself that brings the deliverance. Jesus, this is Kenneth Copeland saying this, Jesus has already obtained deliverance through the complete work of redemption. The Holy Spirit who lives inside of you knows how to pray in order to bring the deliverance. Jesus has already provided. Fasting simply brings the spirit man, which is in union with the Holy Spirit, into ascendance over the flesh. It also limits the influence of the physical appetites so that you can more effectively hear and respond to the Spirit. Somebody say, hear and respond. Boy, Keith Moore hammered on that this week. I mean, the Holy Ghost through Keith Moore. You know, a lot of people in the Word of Faith movement stream, we love hearing the Word, hearing the Word, hearing the Word. But we also need to be doers of the Word too, right? Amen? Hallelujah. This enhances intercession. An effective Holy Spirit-led intercession sets the captives free. Somebody say, it's more than about me. That's the word that came up during their time at kind of the crescendo of Flashpoint, was God wants to heal America because he wants to heal the nations of the world, and America is a tool in his hand to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Fasting is not a method of twisting God's arm to get him to respond when you pray. Fasting does not change God, it changes you, says Kenneth Copeland. Hallelujah. And last week, you can go back and listen to it if you missed it, but we went through a fasting checklist. All those things are from a message that Pastor George preached a couple weeks ago at Eagle Mountain. Eagle Mountain is just a great place. They actually have a, if you go to emic.org, they've got a kind of a, you know, one of those ad, not an ad, but you know, the main kind of headline on their thing is about fasting and prayer. You just click on it, and there's several things you can listen to just feed yourself during the week. Feed yourself. Amen. We're feeding on the word instead of a, for me, instead of a cookie or my afternoon coffee. Amen. Praise the Lord. So these are great things to be listening to. But I want to focus for the next few minutes before, oh, we got to say amen quick, man. It's 12:05. Hallelujah. But let me share this with you before we go. I know there's only 3 more hours of the pregame show to watch. But Isaiah 58, verse 6, I just want to go over this verse with you, and we'll get to the rest on another Sunday. But the word of God says this in Isaiah 58, verse 6, is this not the fast that I have chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? That's 4 things he said. Loose the bonds of wickedness, undo heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, and break every yoke. Those are 4 good reasons to fast and pray, right? Amen? Now, I broke it down, kind of dissected the verse somewhat from the Strong's Concordance. So the word chosen, if you circle that there in the scripture, if you have the notes, there's some definitions here. Chosen means to join. We're joining with a body of believers doing this. We're joining ourselves with the will of God. Amen. Instead of joining myself with a donut, I'm joining myself with a promise of breakthrough. Hallelujah, right? For a season, right? It means require. Sometimes fasting, church, is just simply required. If you want to get to know, how many know the Marines have certain requirements? That I'll even say this, most everybody doesn't, at least they shouldn't. There might be people now trying to make it really easy to get, you know, the kind of the weirdness of our society right now, this whole equity and inclusion and all this kind of stuff. But no, if you want to be a Marine, there are expectations. And if you want to get certain breakthroughs, fasting just has to become part of our lifestyle. And I don't know about you, but I think even my physical health will benefit if I get food under control and remind it who's in control. Amen, right? It means this is an appointed time. The choice, this is a choice to do this. Amen. No one's going to burn in hell if they don't. Right? Amen. No, it's just a decision. Do you want to be among the few? The blessed. Amen, right? And it also uses the word be rather. Rather than a cookie and a coffee this afternoon, I'm going to fast that and pray and say these things. Amen? Hallelujah. Now the word loose, when it says loose the bonds of wickedness, that means to open wide, to begin, to plow, to carve, to appear, to break forth, to draw out, to let go free, to loose. And it even says to loose yourself, right? To unstop. And bonds mean things like, I don't know what, I made a mess up there in the spelling. But fetters, it means pain. There's a lot of people in pain. That probably was supposed to be pain there, and I moved it over. But pain. Some pain, it's going to take some extra breakthrough to get through it. And not just in our own lives, but other people's lives, to help them through what they're going through. Our nation has been going through a lot of pain because of wicked leadership and a apathetic church. So that's one reason why we fast and pray, to get that, to break that through in a spirit. Wickedness means a wrong, especially moral. It means iniquity. How many have noticed anything going wrong? Really wrong. Morally, maybe there's laws to protect it, but it's wrong. Morally wrong, maybe not legally wrong in some thing, but definitely morally wrong. That opens the door for the devil to steal, kill, and destroy, right? So when we're fasting and praying, we're believing to break that thing. Break that thing, or something wrong going on in your own life. Kenneth Copeland and Greg Stevens have a book out called God, the Covenant, and the Contradiction I'm reading right now. And whatever is a contradiction to the promise of God in my life, I should be standing against that. No matter how strong, no matter how many years it's been there, get the word out, find the scriptures, and stand against that in the name of Jesus. Amen. To undo, when it says to undo heavy burdens, means to jump, be violently agitated, to terrify, shake off, untie, drive asunder, leap, loose. Man, supernatural things happen when we lay aside the flesh for a season, right? Literally, God can cause things to totally reverse supernaturally in the spirit, right? To come violently against what's violently coming against you. Hallelujah. To terrify the devil, to shake him off, to untie whatever seems tied up. Glory to God. And heavy means a yoke, either literal or figurative. God is not a God of slavery, he's a God of freedom. Anything that's enslaving anyone, he's against it. I mean, if there's no other reason to do this, the children, from the womb through college, kids that the devil has tried to literally steal, kill, and destroy from, whether it's murdering them before they're ever born, if they do get born, making it illegal for a Christian family to adopt them. These are nuts kind of stuff. To get involved with them questioning their own genders, to erasing the, you know, everything about the history of our nation and indoctrinating them with lies and setting them up against one. There's a war against children. That's a good reason for Steve to say no to a cookie this afternoon. Hallelujah. Because we need to see a supernatural move of God, and we are seeing it. Amen? Hallelujah. The word burdens, meaning to bind, I like this word, knot. Something seems like it's in a knot, and no matter what I do, no matter how hard I try, I cannot untie this knot. There's some things only God can get involved in and supernaturally undo. Amen. And so that's why we fast and pray. So God will loosen those knots. People that are just bound up, hopelessly lost in addictions or whatever. Whatever's going on in our own lives, in our nation. All the things on the list, right? Things we can't figure out. The word oppress, when it says to let the oppressed go free, again, that means break people that are broken or bruised or crushed, people that are, their lives are in pieces, they're discouraged, in a struggle. This is why we fast and pray for those people to be free. Amen. And when it says to go, to let the oppressed go, somebody say, let my people go. Just say what Moses said. Amen. Means to leave, to let depart, to loose, to push away, to reach forth, to shoot forth out, to stretch forth out. Amen. They're leaving that place of Curseville and moving over into Blessingville. The place of Strifeville into the place of Peaceville. Hallelujah, right? A change of address. And the word free, when it says let the oppressed go free, means liberty. I like this, exempt from bondage. The devil tries to put something on you to say, no, devil, I am exempt from that by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because I fasted. Amen. By the blood of Jesus. Fasting helps our faith to grow stronger in the Lord, right? Where are we at? Was that free? Yeah. And then when it says break every yoke, that means break means to burst, to lift up. Remember that word God gave us a few weeks ago about Jesus lifting people up, right? Lifting us up out of a place of leasing and renting into a place of ownership. That's a supernatural thing, man. Can I tell you something? I don't know how to figure that out. But I know who does. I know who does. To get somebody saved that was on their way to hell, to lift them up supernaturally or encourage someone, amen, to a change of events financially, those are supernatural things. A lifting up. Somebody say, there's a lifting up. A pulling out. To pull out. Pull me out of the fire. To root out. He's going to root out all the things that need to be rooted out. There's a rooting out going on in our nation right now. Amen. Glory to God. That's good news. Amen. And I was reminded watching Flashpoint this week that I'm not to be hateful and angry at people. My battle is with the devil. I'm not fighting against you. I'm fighting for this. And if you get in the way, well, that's on you. I'm not fighting against you. I'm fighting for the kids. And if you're trying to stop it, well, that's on you. That's between you and God. Amen. Glory to his name forevermore. There's a rooting out, a tearing out. Sometimes God just needs to come in and do some remodeling. Jesse Duplantis said as part of his word for the year, just be ready for God to, if you have to, scrap everything. If the Lord leads you to in some part of your life, like when a contractor comes in, you know what? There is rot in this wall. We just need to open it up and get it out. And then, hey, we can expand the whole house that way and go. Amen, right? And then finally, that you break every yoke. That means, again, heaviness, bands, staves, yoke, either literal or figurative. Amen. So we'll stop right there. Let's all stand up on our feet. We'll agree in prayer today for these things. And just celebrate that that's what, sometimes when you're in the middle of a battle, you don't see what's everything that's happening. Amen. And I remember, you know, the movie Saving Private Ryan, I saw a few times, and the one initial battle where they come in, and there's just, it's just awful what they endured and the loss of life. They prevailed, but the Nazis just took so many guys out. And Tom Hanks's character, you know, they're transitioning, and they get over to where the good guys are in the camp, and they're all the good guys are shaven and eaten and just acting all happy-go-lucky. They have no idea what they just saw, right? And I heard a similar story about people that were helping during the attack on Israel recently. They shared some testimonies at Eagle Mountain from guys that were actually on the ground, literally taking bodies out. We got to pray for these people, man. People that are right in the face of things and literally head-on with the devil, seeing things that we'll never see. They probably don't have an appetite after some of the stuff that they saw, right? And so, Lord, we think of them right now. Lord, the people that are in this battle closer than we are, or the devil has literally come in and physically assaulted, physically, or reputation-wise. We think of people like the Trumps and others that have been so violently attacked in their reputation. For the people in Israel, Lord, that saw whether family members being brutally treated, we lift them up to you, Lord, today. We stand for the children, Lord, that are being trafficked or lied to about their own genders, or family members that are grieving for a kid that thinks they're something that they're not. We lift them up to you, Father. We lift them up to you. And we speak these words of healing and deliverance and a breaking of the yoke off of their lives, a turning to Christ. I think of the movie, The Sound of Freedom, Lord. We just loosen that song, that sound of freedom to rise up from Jesus on the inside of people and save people, deliver people, heal people, rescue people. The children, Father God, the innocent. And bring about a healing of the nations. Oh, we praise you in advance that it is done, Lord. We praise you in advance that it is done. In the name and by the blood of Jesus. And we'll continue to stay in an attitude of intercession and prayer and warfare. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.